Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great day today and enjoying the beautiful fall weather that we've been having here in Central Ohio. And it's good to be alive in these days. It's good to be serving our Lord in these days. And we're looking forward to the return of Christ. And certainly we are living in those days, and we're every day thinking about the return of Christ. I hope you are, and I hope you're living for the Lord today. I appreciate you tuning in and listening to Words to Encourage Radio. Now, I want you to take your Bible today. I want to share something with you from James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James 3 is mostly about the tongue of the believer. Notice what he says in verse 1. My brethren, Christians, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. And it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's talk a little bit about controlling the tongue. One man said, examining the tongue of a patient, physicians find out the diseases of the body, and philosophers the diseases of the mind. Another person said this, the most ferocious monster in the world has his den just behind the teeth. Someone said, the best way to save face is to keep the lower part shut. But it's difficult to put your foot, and by the way, it's difficult to put your foot in your mouth if you keep it shut. The biggest bone of contention is usually the jawbone. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Our words are the ambassadors of our heart. When you think of a mature Christian, what do you think of? Someone who reads the Bible every day, prays faithfully, attends church services, is active serving the Lord in some way? All those things are good, certainly. And certainly things that accompany salvation. But according to James 3, the distinguishing mark of a mature believer is the ability to control the tongue. And the truth is, we cannot control the tongue. In fact, the scripture says the tongue can no man tame. So we have to submit our heart to God. And I'm going to give you from prayer a very practical tool to help. David said, Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And I'm going to use an acronym, THINK, T-H-I-N-K, to try to help each of us to ask five questions before we speak. Let's take the letter T. Is it true? T stands for true. Is it true? Remember this rule about gossip. The more interesting it is, the more likely it is to be false. If I counsel a couple and listened only one side of the story and then make my judgment, that would not be professional or correct. It would show very poor judgment. I agree. Whenever anybody hears half the story and repeats it to someone else and gets them all worked up without ever hearing the other side of the story, that's poor judgment. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what the Lord Jesus said. You understand, I'm responsible for what I pass along just the same as if I originated it. The Bible says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that's given to change, or that flattereth with his lips. Be careful. You don't go about as a talebearer revealing secrets. You know, somebody said some of the most wasted breath in the world are these words. Now, let's just keep this between us. The Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. So when someone comes to you and they have some gossip, then you have to drive that away with an angry countenance. Or like someone else said, why don't you say, can I quote you on that? Or when someone says something bad about someone who's not there, say, hey, here's what I like about them. What do you like about them? See, the first step is it true? If it's not true, I don't want to hear it. Now, even if it's true and it's bad, I don't need to hear it, and I don't care to hear it. All right, is it true? Number H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It doesn't say the Lord hates six things. He does hate six things, but it says seven are an abomination to him. They're detestable to him. There's a seventh that he hates even more. And the seventh that he hates even more is those that stir up trouble among brothers. Those who sow discord among the brethren. So you ask yourself, is it helpful? So it may be true, but it's not helpful. I don't need to tell it. Are your words helping to bring about a solution to the problem? Or are you just adding to the problem? I read about a young mother who asked her children a question on a regular basis. Are your words flames or flowers? And it's then her children realized that they have a choice. They can either plant beautiful flowers with their words, or they can unleash a raging fire. Are your words flames or flowers? T, true. H, think. You remember the story. Helpful. Think is the word. T, true. H, helpful. Hey, someone coined the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but yeah, words will never harm me. Boy, they couldn't have been more wrong, could they? The truth is, broken bones heal much quicker than wounds of a tongue out of control. There are people today that are still dealing with a tongue lashing and harsh words that were said to them decades ago. Is it true? Is it helpful? Aye. Is it inspiring? In other words, well, are these words going to build somebody up? Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You want to be able to let no corrupt communication be out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it builds somebody up. There was a boy with a birthmark, and his dad told him, I'm glad you have that. That's how I find you in a crowd. The little boy told one man, I feel sorry for people out of birthmark like mine. The father's words made all the difference in the world. I feel sorry for people without a birthmark like mine. Well, what do we say? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Do I have to say anything at all? Oh, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise, Proverbs 10:19. So let every man, James later on in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It was Calvin Coolidge who said, I've never been hurt by anything I did not say. I read this week about a woman who had a very serious throat condition. The doctor told her vocal cords needed rest. She was forbidden to talk for 6 months. Now, with a husband and six children at home, that seemed impossible, but she did what she was told. When she needed the children, she blew a whistle. Whenever she needed to communicate, she wrote things on a pad of paper. After 6 months, her voice came back. When asked what it was like to communicate only in writing, she said this, You'd be surprised how many notes I crumbled up and threw into the trash before I gave them to anyone. Seeing my words before anyone heard them had an effect that I don't think I'll ever forget. is it necessary to say? Is it necessary to say? T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Are your words based on desire to help? You've heard it said that great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. You see, James is writing here to many small-minded people who are gossiping about each other and trying to tear each other apart with their tongues. The Bible says that the Lord will cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. A certain unbeliever, a blacksmith, was in the habit when anyone came into a shop, of telling them some wrong a Christian brother or deacon or pastor had done, saying, "Well, there's one of those fine Christians we hear so much about." An old gentleman, a Christian, one day went into his shop. The unbeliever soon began talking about what some Christians had done. Well, the old man stood a few minutes and listened, then quietly asked the unbeliever if he had read the story in the Bible about the rich man and Lazarus. "Yes, I have, many times. What about it?" "Well, you remember about the dogs, how they came and licked the sores of Lazarus?" "Now," said the old man, "do you know, you just remind me of those dogs, content to merely lick the Christian's sores." And the man was quiet after that. All right, now let me give a conclusion. God doesn't look favorably upon gossip. Leviticus 19:16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among my people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." Number two, an unchecked tongue may reveal an unconverted heart. James 1:26, "If any of you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." And number three, a look into your mouth may reveal heart disease, for it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Number four, God's recorder is always running. The red light's always on. "Every idle word that men shall speak," Jesus said, "they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Oh, let's mind our tongues. Let's decide to please the Lord in everything. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's make sure that we're pleasing God. One day a woman came to John Wesley and she said, I want to say something to you." And she said, Your bow tie offends me." It was one with the long streamers, and said, "It's an offense to me." And he said, "Do you have a pair of shears?" And after getting the shears, he handed them to her, saying that she would know how they would look best. She reached over and clipped off the streamers. And then he said, "Is that okay now?" And she goes, "Oh, yes, that's much better." He said, "Do you mind letting me have those shears?" She gave them to him. He said, "Would you mind a little criticism?" She said, "No, I accept that." She said, Wesley said to her, "Your tongue is a great offense to me, and it's a little too long. Please stick out your tongue while I take some off." Hey, let's think before we speak. T, true. H, helpful. I, inspiring. N, necessary. K, kind. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. I'll look forward to seeing you or being with you again on the broadcast tomorrow. Until then, this is Brother Slateball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.